Blog Talk Radio.
Think big. ThinkBigRadio.com for all of your realty, business, financial, entertainment, and networking needs. We would like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Make sure you visit www.thinkbigradiohost.com. That's www.thinkbigradiohost.com to learn more about your big thinking hosts and how their networks and businesses can assist your goals. Without further ado, let's get this Big Thinkers interview started.
Hello, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. It's the Financially Savvy Sister, your host for today. For our new listeners, make sure you visit www.thinkbigradiohost.com to learn more about your big thinking host. Today we have a special guest who is Bill Gluth of BillGluth.com. He's going to share with us ways to increase your sales pipeline and methods to make your marketing strategy work harder for your business. Bill, are you there?
I'm here. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Great. Before we get started, Bill, please, we want to make sure that everyone has your contact information, so please share that with our listeners.
Oh, you bet. The best way to reach me always is just to visit my website at www.BillGluth, that's BillGluth.com, and that lists all the different services and ways I help small businesses survive and thrive in any economy.
Great. So, Bill, tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do and how you got started doing this.
Oh, you bet. I'm happy to. Well, first of all, I'm a commercial writer and sales process strategist, business coach, and a trainer. And basically, with all the changes going on in our economy, I see small and micro businesses as the future of the American economy. In fact, in the years ahead, microbusiness might even actually replace traditional employment. So I'm one of the first people to specialize in teaching small business owners how to use their talent and knowledge as their greatest competitive advantage in business. Yeah, I recommend using low-cost, high-impact, human-touch marketing tactics, messages that are focused on buyers instead of your business, and caring as the best sales strategy available. So back in 2001, I wasn't this person at all. In fact, I was working for a printing company here in Phoenix, Arizona, and I was their VP of Sales and Marketing. And we basically agreed when I started with the company that we'll get the business up to about the $5 million mark, and then we would sell it, and we had this profit-sharing plan and all that in place. Well, unfortunately, in June of 2001, they ended up selling the business early, and so I was without a job, and I was suffering from the terrible twos. You know, I was too old. I made too much money, and I was in a market with too few opportunities for the position at the VP level. People just weren't hiring. Then, of course, we all know what happened on September of 2001. So my choice was to go back to my roots that I started back when I was 14 years old and develop my vision and create a business that leveraged my talents, knowledge, and passion. And that's something I've been doing really all my life, with the exception of a brief time where I worked for some other people and kind of employed my ideas and strategies for those businesses, and that worked out well. I just had to go back to small business when the market dictated that.
Okay, so you're suggesting that people use their talent as a brand for their small business or for their business.
Exactly. You see, what's happening in the world today is people dream up an idea. I'm going to go in this business, or I'm going to try this business or that business, but they're not really passionate about it. They're not really excited. They don't wake up every morning and go, yeah, this is it. This is what I want to do. I'm into this. This is my life. You know. Instead, it's just like a job. But when they start their own business, unfortunately, in many cases, turns out to be a job that they own. So what I do is really help that micro and small business owner take that the knowledge they have and their talents and their passions and put it together, just like you say, as a business brand. So once they understand how to do that, then we create a sales process that's focusing on delivering that message to buyers that want to hear it and make sure the messages aren't blocked but they're actually heard. And then with that passion, that enthusiasm, business owners break through and their business becomes quite successful.
So what methods can people use to increase those that brand to actually increase their marketing strategy and their sales?
Well, you know, it really starts with clarity. And I think a lot of us, we all do it. You know, I'm as guilty as the next person, I have to admit it. But we all run around. Sometimes we're not as clear as we need to be. And when it comes mm-hmm. to your talent or your passion, oftentimes, you know, we'll know what that is in our heart, but in our mind, we just won't admit it. So it's not that we have to really discover our talent or discover our passion. It's really admitting what our talent and passion is. And sometimes we ask, you know, people that are close to us and just, you know, other people that kind of know us, and they can help us see it in a way that we can't. And so when they reflect that back at us, we get clear. And then once we're clear, we can get focused. And then once we're focused, we can leverage the knowledge as a marketing tool and create messages around the talent that buyers would care about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and once the business is in the into the stage of, okay, now we're ready to go out and sell and to market, that there is a catch. And a lot of people don't like to hear the catch, but the catch is that if you're in a small business today, like it or not, you have to go out and promote and sell what you do. You know, it just won't magically show up at your door. So whether you're doing social networking or whether you're doing direct selling, networking, you're just going out in networking groups, whatever you're doing, you really need to get out there and with it, push that message with that passion, you know, that take that talent, take that knowledge, and share it willingly with people. Get out there and speak to the buyers about what they're interested in, and what they're interested in, unfortunately, isn't always your business most of the time or all the time, really. It's what they're interested in, what they want. Why are they listening to you? If you can deliver a message that helps them to understand how you can help them, they'll do business with you almost every time. It's really pretty amazing.
Right, right, right. And that's really interesting, because a lot of times people possess these talents and they don't incorporate them in their business. They incorporate them in their personal life. So how do you suggest people go about, like, step by step? How do you suggest people actually go about incorporating those talents into their business, as well as other, like their marketing strategy, their sales strategy, without breaking the bank?
Oh, you bet, you bet. Well, the easiest way, first, once you're clear, the easiest way to start to go out and push this message into the marketplace is really to start writing about it, or just, you know, journaling. I'm a big fan of journaling. And not because, you know, I really like writing in books, as much as just it really helps get your deepest thinking on paper. And one of my clients a long time ago was a woman who was a copy editor, but she was also an expert in adult learning. And she said that when you take a pencil to paper, a pen to paper, the act of writing actually imprints the information in cellular memory, kind of that quantum physics
mm-hmm.
stuff, you know. And
mm-hmm.
so
you remember if you write it down.
Exactly, you retain it.
Mm-hmm.
So writing about it, and at first I got to tell you what, believe me, I've been there, I know, writing about it really helps to clarify your knowledge. You get it down on paper. So once you have it down on paper, you have this, you can create like little reports or little articles, but I just recommend start with a tip, you know, start with a paragraph, start with something small, write down what you know, write down advice you would give to somebody about what you know. And then from there, take that information, convert it into a Word document, and start to share that information, you know, online, the Internet. I mean, gosh, it's become the best tool that mankind has ever invented for as far as sales
right.
and marketing world goes. It's so inexpensive. You can go up on a free blog and post your ideas, or you can create little PDF files just pretty much for free nowadays and spread them out to people that you know. So when people ask about your business, offer to send them the article, the information that you've written down. So it starts in a journal, you're writing, you're getting clear, and after a few weeks of doing that, you're going to have some pretty good bunch of information. You create a little article with it, or a white paper, whatever you want to call it, special report, and you go out and send that out to the people that you'd like to work with, and just say, like to work with you, this is what I think about, tell me if this resonates with you, and if we should talk further. So it becomes
mm-hmm.
a very simple, no stress, no beat people up like, you know, twist their arm or something like that in terms of helping them or having them buy something from you. It becomes a matter of just, you know, sharing your knowledge, being passionate enough to spread the word every day with people, and going out into the world and just asking people if they want to work with you. Basically, say, let me send you something that I've done. Can I have your permission to send it? Send it, follow up with them, see if they want to buy. And usually in about 1 in 20 to 1 in 50 times of doing that, somebody's going to want to buy from you. And so if you're doing, like, say, a couple hundred people a week in terms of this contact, and that could be through online social networking, that could be through direct networking, like at networking groups, that could be through a direct selling effort. Any way you engage people, just go out there and share that information. When you do that, you'll be really, really surprised. The people that are most likely to need your help will actually raise their hand and say, yep, I'm into that. Tell me more about it. And when they see, when you hear the words, and I just tell your listeners, when you hear the words, tell me more about that, you've just heard the magic words of sales and marketing success. That means they're engaged, they're interested, and just really don't talk, but listen, ask questions. What is it about that that you found interesting? And through that questioning process, the people, the prospect, will tell you how you can best help them. And then, of course, you know, we're all in business to serve people to their highest and best good. So offer your services in a way that will most help the person you're talking to.
Wow. Okay, that's awesome. So let me recap a little bit to make sure that we understand. One is clarity. Get clear about your ideas, and then journal and keep a record, and then share the information with the people to engage them.
Mm-hmm.
And get them to the point where they can say, tell me more about you, your product, your services.
Exactly. Tell me more about you, about that offer you're talking about here, you know?
Right. And you don't break the bank because you use social networking sites and blogging and things like that. That's really awesome. That's great news. Tell me a little bit more about how you can make that marketing strategy by incorporating these steps and free services, how you can incorporate those things into your marketing strategy and make it work harder for your business.
Oh, you bet. Well, when it comes to information, in the world today, people are on the Internet, and that's the first thing we all have to realize. And even after we realize it, I have to tell you, we have to keep reminding ourselves every day.
Mm-hmm.
People are on the Internet not to find anything, not to buy anything. They're on the Internet overwhelmingly searching for information. So if you're the information they happen upon, and there's a number of ways to do that, like taking your articles as an example and putting them into a place like ezinearticles.com, people start to find you. So when they find you, you know, suddenly now we've opened the conversation to somebody that may be interested. And so it really just becomes a matter of the exposure and then taking that information and basically creating more information. That, you know, there's kind of bad news about this. You know, like everything in life, there's a catch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the catch to this is you have to be consistent. You have to be focused. You have to be consistent. And you have to create messages that buyers want to hear. And basically you do that by just going on a mission that will spark people's passion. Like for me, I see the future of American economy rest in the hands of small business. And in fact, one day, you know, micro business may even really completely replace employment. You know, people want to know about that. So just with each of your listeners, I would just say, go on a mission that sparks your interest to the point where you talk about it, and then help other people see that as well through your information marketing campaign. And basically, it's pretty much free. Now, I use a blog that costs me $8.95 a month because people that I know use the blog, and I like that. So we all kind of use the same blog together. But, I mean, you know, my marketing budget, and I'm in business, my marketing budget really is, you know, just a couple few hundred bucks a month even today. So it doesn't take a lot. It takes effort, but it doesn't take a lot of money. And so that's good news in a dwindling economy and in these moments where we're kind of like, gosh, we got to do more with less.
Right. A lot of business owners are definitely thinking about that. Can you go in a little bit more detail about how you were able to develop a marketing budget with such a small budget?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first I knew that, well, when I first started in business, let's go back to 2001 for a minute. I mean, I had just gotten let go from kind of a big-time job. I lost a lot of money, you know. So at that point, I was sort of like, whoa, man, you know, like most people, I probably didn't have quite enough money in the bank. A little bit, but not quite enough. And so it was just kind of like, well, what can I do? And this is when I came upon and started learning about and watching other people and observing and doing for myself this idea of information. It, actually, I've coined the phrase edutizing to describe how to educate and advertise at the same time.
And so that's clever.
So at that time, it was just a need that I had for myself. Well, guess what? It really worked good. People were just like, go and tell me more about that all the time. I'd go to networking, and instead of saying, you know, I'm so-and-so, and this is what I do, and if you ever want to buy anything from me, you know, come see me right away after the meeting because I need sales tomorrow. And instead I'd say, hey, I got a free report that I developed. This was early on. Got a free report I developed and love to share it with you. Give me your card. Here's the title of it, and give me your card if you'd like to receive it. And I got a lot of cards that way. You follow up with the cards. Well, that's free. Then I moved on to the blogging. You start blogging, and there's blogs that you can get for free. There's blogs that cost a few dollars, but blogging is so inexpensive. So if you do the blog, you write on the blog three times a week. You write the articles. You save them as PDFs, and now we can get PDF program. PDF converters take Word to PDF for free, pretty much, or very low cost if they do charge anything. And so now we're marketing in a way that it just doesn't cost you. We're just sharing our knowledge, and people get excited about that. Well, here's something else that happens, too, and I get this. It happens for me all the time now because I've been doing this since, gosh, you know, the early days or quite a few years now. But people see you as an expert in the space. So all of a sudden, here you are, and, you know, you're just you. You know who you are, and you're just kind of like, well, I'm just me, and what's the big deal, and, you know, whatever. I live my life every day. But people that read your material and your information – they don't know who you are every day. They see you as a knowledgeable expert, as long as you're communicating a valuable message that they're interested in. So from there, you're very much like this expert to these folks, and it's your goal and your desire and also your obligation once you start to help people go through their challenges. Well, now, as you're helping them go through the challenge, you're the expert. You're providing the information. It doesn't take long before the light clicks on. They go, boom, boy, I wonder how this person could help me if it was just me and them working together, or, you know, if I interfaced with their business, how could they help me? And they're going to ask you, how can you help me? And, of course, then that turns into a sales situation, and you create a sale. So it's real, and you earn revenue, and you follow up and do the client relationship management piece on the back end of it all, and before you know it, you've got a group of clients that really like you. They're what I might call raving fans, and I think a lot of people call them raving fans these days, but they're really liking your business. They refer you openly because they like what you're doing. They value your input and how you've helped them, and so the business just grows and grows, but it doesn't take $1 million in marketing or even, you know, a few thousand in marketing to make that happen. It takes the effort of sharing your knowledge, and it's huge when you do it.
Right. You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals. Your success makes us successful. Today we have with us Bill Gluth, who is sharing with us ways to use your talent to create ways for your talent to create your brand, to build your marketing. Bill, one more time, please give our listeners your contact information.
Oh, you bet. You can always reach me most easily on my website, and that website address is www.billgluth.com.
Okay.
It has all my contact info there. I'm easy to reach.
Okay. You have two websites, Develop Your Vision and Creating Words That Sell. Can you talk a little bit more about those?
Oh, yeah, you betcha. What I've done is when I first started my business, coaching was really a big, big, big issue back in 2001, 2002, 2003, those early years. And so the business started out as Develop Your Vision. It was a coaching business with the idea of helping people discover their talents and use their knowledge and passion as a business they would love. Well, over the years, I found that Develop Your Vision, by about 2005, I found Develop Your Vision, people loved it, it was a great business, but I kept doing, building sales processes and developing marketing messages for people because they couldn't really see their business from their buyer's perspective. They were too close. So they couldn't see it. Mm-hmm. They needed somebody to kind of stand back and go, here's what your buyers are thinking. So at that point, I created the business Creating Words That Sell to take the work I did in Develop Your Vision to the next level. And Creating Words That Sell, what we do is we understand how the buyers think, and I basically show small business owners how to read their buyer's mind and create messages that buyers will relate to in both sales and marketing, and then help them put those messages out into the marketplace. So Develop Your Vision with the coaching model business to help people get started, understand how to use their talents, how to use their passions and knowledge, and then it evolved into Creating Words That Sell, and these days I do both. You know, an entrepreneur will come to me, gee, I want to start a business. I've been working for a living all my life. I don't know what to do to start a business. So we go with Develop Your Vision, get their talents, knowledge, and passion on the table, and develop a working plan. This is the business. Here's the brand. And then we move it over to Creating Words That Sell, where we create the buyer-centric sales and marketing message that helps people get that response, tell me more about that, over and over again when they deliver that sales and marketing message. So it's a really good 1-2 punch that developed over, about a 6-year period, really, 5-6 year period. It's just the evolution of the marketplace. You know, people went from coaching to wanting people to do things for them more. And today, now I'm expanding Creating Words That Sell into even a bigger situation where we can help more business owners, and eventually we'll be nationwide with that because there's so much need for that buyer-centered message, that sales and marketing message that focuses on the buyer instead of the business.
Mm-hmm. And now you have a lot of business owners who are trying to figure out ways to meet buyer needs. They are using their talents to influence their marketing and sales decisions, but they're looking for ways to meet the ever-changing buyer. Do you have any suggestions of how they could go about doing that?
You betcha. In fact, in Creating Words That Sell, the first thing I ever do with any project, you know, whether it's a web project, whether it's a sales process we're building, whatever it is, it always starts out by focusing on the buyers. So I have my clients, I'm going to give you the trade secret here, you know, I have my buyers send out an email, what I call the value statement email, that basically says I'm working with a business strategist on my sales and marketing program. Would you mind giving me your opinion and telling me what the greatest value you feel you've gained from working with me is? And so we get back these wonderful statements from people, and then I also have a team of people that call up, you know, key clients of my clients and ask, you know, what the value is and do a little bit more in-depth interview. But that value statement email has gotten such a wonderful response. I mean, we develop testimonials for companies that, oh, no, nobody ever tells us anything. You know, what happens is people really want to help you. But if you never ask them to help you, they don't know what to do, so they don't do anything because, you know, you need to give them some direction. So when when the clients send this email, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I can talk good about this person. Absolutely. Chunk, chunk, chunk. And here they go, you know, with the email. We get wonderful response from that. And then we take those words and actually convert them into the marketing and sales copy, both online and off, for each and every client company individually. And now at the end of it, they have a message that people relate to because it's all centered on the buyer instead of the business. And by the way, that's a mistake a lot of business owners make. Let me tell you 101 things about me that I love. But again, we got to remember the buyer doesn't care about you. I know it's harsh. I hate to be that way, but you know, I got to tell the truth, right? You know, they don't care about you. They care about what they want. And if they contact you, they want something from you. But it's not. They don't want your business. They want to solve some issue, some challenge, some problem that they're facing. So we got to understand what those problems might be, create messages that address them, and send those messages out into the marketplace and say, here's what I do, and see how many people raise their hand and say, tell me more about that.
Right. How often should a business owner change or alter their marketing plan?
Well, they shouldn't change it at all. They should basically have a marketing plan and follow it. What happens, though, this is funny. marketers, business owners get tired of their marketing message because they say it over and over and over and over again. It just gets kind of sickening. You know, they get tired of it. So they move up and go to this message, that message, the other message. To the buyer, that's a moving target. So from the marketing perspective, changing the message is pretty much the kiss of death. You know, it's kind of like, oh, why isn't my marketing working? And I'll bet you 9 out of 10 times because that marketing message keeps changing. It's a moving target. And, you know, the buyers get confused, and always remember these words, the confused mind always says no. And so if you have a moving marketing target, you're going to confuse your buyers, and the confused mind always says no, so they just go, they block your messages out. So when your email shows up, it gets deleted, or it goes into the spam folder. Worse yet, they you know, they spam list you or something like that. But it's only because it's not relevant to them, and maybe you changed your message. Or maybe it just wasn't focused on that buyer, but a lot of times people change their message, business owners, because they get tired of it. And, you know, you're going to be sick to death of this marketing story, but you got to tell it over and over again so that people get it. Because consistency, remember that it takes 27 times of hearing something before it really becomes a memory in people's mind. Most people stop telling their marketing story after two or three times. So they're 24 times light of delivering a marketing message that anybody would remember. It's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Right. That is, like, definitely.
Wow. So, I mean, we can understand.
That's really good for people to know with their marketing strategy that it needs to be solid, it needs to be consistent, and people need to hear it over and over before it sticks.
You bet. And, you know, 27 times to remember it, it takes – and that's a formula actually developed by J. Conrad Levinson of Guerrilla Marketing fame and others talk about it, but there's three impressions of hearing something. An impression would be hearing something. So three impressions of hearing something to remember it once, right, takes nine remembers, three times nine, to actually create a memory in your mind. So that's 27 impressions, and most businesses stop communicating after two or three times. And then they go, gee, my marketing isn't working. And it's like, well, now we know why. See, the mystery's been solved. we're about 24 times light. You know, so that's quite a difference, And when if that's the case, the marketing message will never be heard. The business will generally underperform. And unfortunately, in some cases, they don't make any sales at all. They go out of business. So an entrepreneur's dream, a human being's dream, is taken away from them only because they didn't know one little piece of information that's, like, vital to succeeding in sales and marketing. And that's that consistent communication.
So if we have someone, some of our listeners who may be in a situation similar to that, what do you suggest that they do to go about changing it?
Here's what they have to do. They have to write down, they have to plan, get a calendar out, and actually write down 27 ways they can touch people in a year. Okay? So it's like a 12-month calendar. This, I got to tell you, this is not the easiest. See, there's a catch to things, but again, we're not talking about spending thousands of dollars, so, you know, a little bit of your time or some of your time and some of your brain power is going to be required. Your creativity is what's really quite required. So, like, as an example, I have my newsletter. And so in my newsletter, you know, I send that out every week. So, you know, that's basically about 50 or 49 touches a year because I take the holidays off. I give myself permission to have some fun. Yeah, I'm a holidays, you know, and my birthday. But, you know, if my birthday lands on Monday. So every Monday I send out my newsletter. And so that's 52 touches, but I don't stop there. All of my clients and people that are very key contacts, I contact them every month, either with a greeting card. I have an automated program I use for greeting cards through email or through phone call. But I don't just send people emails all the time. It's what we call integrated marketing. It's U.S. mail, email, telephone, drop by for a visit, take them to some coffee or lunch. You know, it's just all the different ways you can think to contact people. So if you take your clients, you say, these are my A clients, my B clients, my C clients, contact your A clients somehow, every, you know, with a greeting card, postcard, live visit, telephone call, email, somehow touch them once a month. Your B people, touch them once a quarter, and your C people, touch them twice a year. And if you do that, the A people are going to get your most attention, which, as it should be, they're your most likely buyers, your hottest prospect, and all of your customers, whether they're your best customers or not. And so the chances of them doing more business from you, with you, the chances of them growing with you and wanting to do business with you really increases because they hear from you enough to get your marketing message. And so that's really the secret. Get the calendar out and go, okay, I'm going to touch all my clients, which would be my A contacts and all my hottest prospects, my A contacts, once a month. How am I going to do it? And so within the course of a year, once you start doing that once a month thing, that's 12 touches. But once you start doing it, it kind of gets infectious. You know, you kind of get like, well, this is cool. I get good response from it. You feel good about it. So you start doing more. So pretty soon you're touching, you send a card, you send an extra email, whatever. At the end of a year, you've touched people about 20, the important people at least, about 27 times. And that's really, really key is just let them hear that message over and over and over again. So they get it or else they'll never hear it, they'll never buy it, or they won't continue to buy from you. And that's the other thing, you know, your existing clients, they're money in the bank. I mean, you should be selling your existing clients just throughout the year, every year, unless you have some really high ticket item, they only buy once. But most people can keep doing business all the time, and you need to be doing that because it costs a lot of money to get a new client. But once you have the relationship intact, as long as you keep in touch, you can keep selling to them over and over again.
Right. That makes so much sense, too.
You bet. And a lot of people do not focus on that. Keeping in touch with their clients and sell it to them over and over again.
Yeah, and I definitely like the integrated marketing thing because I think sometimes people market, we're so used to marketing with some type of internet-based marketing strategy instead of remembering the old ways of sending something in the mail or having coffee with someone or something like that, and it could be so powerful and it could really change your marketing strategy.
Oh, there's no question about it. And
I've
even found in today's world that now I automate and I actually send greeting cards and postcards as easy as I send emails through online programs that you can be a part of that actually send physical mailings for you for a very low cost, but you know, just do it like you send an email. You plug in the person's name and address and all that and type your message out, and boop, and it goes out as a greeting card or a postcard.
So right.
Using those kind of tools, they're everywhere. Using those kind of tools to automate but keep it personal, but still you can automate, you can save yourself hours and hours and hundreds of dollars in terms of your marketing costs.
Right. These are great tips.
Well, thank you.
Very great tips.
But you're liking them.
Yeah. As we start to wrap up, can you tell everyone what you feel the ingredient for success is?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, there's been so much written about success, and, you know, I recommend everybody. I think everybody who's successful today, and I've talked to a lot of people who are successful, they all blame it on this book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And I
have that book.
Oh, read it like six times. You know, read it immediately. It's the primer of how to succeed. Now, there's millions of books out there on how to be successful. But I got to tell you what, go back to the classics, and every successful person I know, without exception, all blames Think and Grow Rich, following the lessons in that book, for their success. So that's step one, you know, is be a lifelong learner. Is totally key to being successful. You know, you cannot be successful living in a vacuum of the past. You have to be current with what's going on, and you have to have ideas that are based on the way successful people act and think. When you do that, that helps a lot. And then focus. You know, you have to be focused. You have to know where you're going, what you're doing, or else you're never going to get there. Got to have a destination, a goal. And then also you need to be consistent. Just like we talked about with the marketing message, you can't you can't just send out one marketing message and go, oh, they didn't buy from me, that's it. You're 26 times light before they're ever going to buy from you. You know, and sometimes people buy it 7 times. Some people buy it 5 times. Some people buy it 12 times. We're just saying to create a permanent memory in somebody's mind, they have to hear from you 27 times. So you know, if you only took, again, maybe they buy from you 5 times or 6 times or 7 times, but that consistency, you got to be out there. You got to be so passionate about your mission and your talent, your passion, and your knowledge in business that, you know, you don't want to deprive people of the benefit of knowing about this. So you're out there spreading your message constantly, every day, consistently, And that might be the greatest challenge for business owners. You know, the focus part and the consistency part, it can be challenging. Reading the fun books, that's great. You know, it's fun. Follow the steps in the book. But besides that, that focus and consistency, boy, those things are really the key of success. And being a lifelong learner, of course. If you're learning, you're growing. And if you're not learning, you're stagnating, just the way the human organism works.
Mm-hmm. And for our listeners who may have joined us a little bit later in the show, can you recap again the steps that people can do to use their talent as their brand for their small business?
You bet. The first step is always to understand your talent by admitting what you're talented at doing. In other words, a lot of people understand the concept of, you know, somebody else telling them what they're good at, but you just got to, in maybe dreaming something up, but you got to just admit in your heart where your talents and passions and knowledge lies. From there, you create a brand story that's reflective of what buyers think about this talent, knowledge, and passion. And if you don't have any clients yet, you can go ask people, you know, show people what you're doing that, you know, could potentially be buyers for your clients one day and get their feedback. And that's a way to do it if you're just starting out. And then from there, just going on a mission, just being hell-bent to go out there and take that message into the world, not deprive people of your knowledge, because, you know, your gift, each person that's listening to this call, your individual gift, if you're not sharing it with the world, you're depriving the world of a value that they might desperately need, but they don't know about, so they can't take advantage of it. So don't deprive the world. You know, get out there. Get on a mission. It takes hard work. Yes, it does. It takes focus. Yes, it does. It takes consistency. But the end of it all is that feeling of success, and that feeling is just wonderfully empowering, and that's why we all do this. That feeling of success is just, you know, the greatest feeling ever, because when you make a difference in the life of someone else, you gain 100-fold what you give every time. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling.
Right. That's great. You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where your host, the Financially Savvy Sister, has been having a conversation with Bill Gluth of BillGluth.com. We want to thank you for joining in and listening to us today. Bill, are there any people that you would like to thank or any last comments that you would like to make?
You bet. You know, just to everybody that's listening, I just like to say, you know, realize that you can do it. The only reason you don't do it is because you didn't wake up tomorrow morning and start. So just get started. You know, I like to always thank, you know, the people that have inspired me just throughout my whole career, people like Jay Abramson and Seth Godin and folks like that. But, you know, you can read every book in the world until you take action. That's really what it takes. So take action. Go out there, you know, push and promote your ideas, and gosh, your life will change, you know, accordingly, just based on the mission and how many lives you impact by helping people gain what they want.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Bill. It has been a pleasure speaking with you, and I know our listeners got a lot of useful information that they can use for their marketing strategy, and we look forward to speaking with you again.
That sounds great. I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
Okay. ThinkBigRadio.com. For all our new listeners, make sure you visit www.thinkbigradiohost.com to learn more about your big thinking host. Again, this is the Financially Savvy Sister. Thank you for listening.